Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the coming Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, on this particular Sunday where we are singing more carols than usual, travel music for our kids and hearing our kids sing their carols and more, it occurred to me that you don't hear that many Christmas carols about Joseph. Most of them, when you think about it, focus on the angels or Mary or, of course, the baby Jesus. Joseph is at best a minor character, often overlooked, mentioned even less frequently than the shepherds. But in preparing for this sermon, I came across a new carol in which Joseph figures pretty prominently. At least it was new to me. It was actually written in the 15th century and is based on a story, a legend that might have originated as far back as the 7th century. It's called the Cherry Tree Carol, and it's appeared over the years in a number of versions and been recorded by a number of artists, including most recently the likes of Emmylou Harris, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Joan Baez. It narrates the story of Mary and Joseph's trip to Bethlehem. They're walking through an orchard when, as the carol goes, Mary said to Joseph, so meek and so mild, Joseph, gather me some cherries, for I am with child. Then Joseph flew in anger flew he. Let the father of your baby gather cherries for thee. Yes, that is the line that got my attention. That line just leapt out at me because it seems so honest, painfully honest about how angry Joseph must have been when he first learned that Mary was expecting and knew from his own experience that he was not the father. Angry, hurt, bitter, all that and more are caught in that single line. Let the father of your baby gather cherries for thee. And what's interesting is that because they're now on their way to Bethlehem, Joseph has probably already had his encounter with an angel, the story we heard this morning, and yet he still struggles to believe. And so the carol continues. Then bowed down the highest tree unto Our Lady's hand. Look, Joseph, she then said, I have cherries to command. And Joseph, upon seeing that miracle, realizes that the child's father, the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, has indeed gathered cherries for Mary. And so he repents of his harsh words and vows to take care of both Mary and their child. As I mentioned, this carol is based on a legend collected around the 7th century and may have been part of an early nativity play. Throughout the Middle Ages, you see, Christians would make up songs and stories loosely based on the biblical account that were intended to fill in some of the gaps from the four Gospels in our New Testament. So in this case, maybe the author of the cherry tree legend felt that Matthew's brief story needed a little more pizzazz. I mean, Luke devotes two whole chapters to Jesus' birth, complete with descriptions of Jesus' aunt and uncle and his cousin. Luke talks about Gabriel's visit to Mary, the story we heard last week, and shares Mary's song of joy in response. He tells us about shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night and describes hosts of angels winging and singing their way across the heavens. Matthew's story, by comparison, is not just simple, but downright plain, and it runs a meager 8 verses. So why not throw in a trip through an orchard, a premarital spat, and a miraculous cherry tree to spice things up and startle Joseph into more obedient faith? Or maybe the author of this legend just found it hard to believe that Joseph would simply accept the words of the angel. And that actually makes some sense to me. Think about it. Sure, Joseph encounters an angel, but the first words out of the angel's mouth are, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife," which reminds us just how afraid Joseph probably was. Joseph knew the rules. Mary should not be pregnant at this stage of their relationship, and Joseph knew the consequences, both for Mary and for himself. And actually, unlike in St. Luke's account. It's not an actual angel's visit that Joseph receives, but rather he has a dream in which an angel speaks to him. So maybe he had some doubts. Was this really an angel, or did he literally just dream it all up to ease his hurt feelings? And even if he assumes it is an angel and believes the angel's promise that this child is from God, this was still so definitely not what he had hoped and planned for. Before the dream about the angel, he probably had his own dreams and plans and ideas about his future life with Mary. And raising the Son of God and Savior of the world was not among them. And so this legend and later carol offer some divine intervention, a little miracle on the way to Bethlehem to offer him a sign of God's favor and bring him around. I get it. But while I'm sympathetic to the direction this carol moves in, I have to say at the end of the day, I prefer Matthew's simpler story. In fact, I think maybe Matthew keeps his story brief and downplays the miraculous precisely to focus our attention on the real miracle of this story, that Joseph believed, that he put aside his own hopes and dreams and expectations in order to follow the call of the Lord, that he didn't just tolerate this disruption, but that he actually saw God at work in it. And because Joseph believes and consents, because he perceives God at work in and through this massive disruption, his life is changed forever, and he gets to play a pivotal role in the greatest story ever told. Now, Pastor Callan is fond of saying, and anyone who sees him in the near future, tell him I quoted him in a sermon. Pastor Callan is fond of saying that ministry happens in the interruptions. That's because God is so often present in the interruptions and disruptions of life, if we're willing to see it. The phone call you do not have time for, but turns out to be a friend who desperately needed to talk to someone. The meeting that was canceled and now needs to be rescheduled that gave you just a little chance to breathe. The demands of a spouse or child or parent when you are super busy or under pressure to get things done at work that somehow remind you that you are who you are not because of your work, but because of the people you love and who love you. Even crises at home or in our larger community have this way of arresting our attention, reminding us of what is most important and calling out of us things we didn't even know we could do. In all these ways, God is still interrupting us through the needs of others, and in this way, inviting us into the ongoing story of God's love and care for the world. One more thing I like a lot about Matthew's short story is that the angel that appears to Joseph in a dream has no name. In Luke, it's clear the angel that comes to Mary is none other than Gabriel. But in Matthew, the angel is anonymous, and I think that might be on purpose. The Greek word for angel, angelos, is translated most simply, you see, as messenger. One, anyone who brings good news, which means that any one of us at any moment has the capacity to receive an angel or to reach out to another person in need and be an angel to that person. Last year, just this time in the year, I had a chance to talk with a number of angels, members and friends of our congregation who were giving up a portion of their weekend to bring meals to some of our homebound members, most often people they had never met. One of the folks sharing these meals told me that a year earlier, her father had died, and our congregation care team had put her mother on the list of those receiving meals. It meant so much to her and to me, she shared, that someone would care, and it brought so much warmth to our home. So this year, I knew I wanted to do that for someone else. And so she drove to our Minneapolis campus from her home in Delano, because having been touched and encouraged by an angel the year before, she was now ready to be God's messenger of grace for someone else. So who has been an angel for you of late? And who might you share a word of encouragement with in the coming days? Because that's how it usually works in this crazy gathering and company that we call the church. Sometimes you are like Joseph, struggling to believe and in need of a dream or a sign or a visit or a word of hope. And sometimes you are that nameless angel, one chosen by God to bear good news. Now, however it plays out, I should probably let you know that it's not likely that there will be any magical fruit trees in your story. And maybe there will be no new carols written about what you experience or do. But that's okay. In fact, I've come to believe, both through reading scripture and my own experience, that most of the truly heroic, even miraculous things in this world go relatively unnoticed, except by those whose lives are changed by them. So thanks be to God for this company of angels and all the things that God accomplishes out of love through you. Amen.